Hey everyone, this is Austin Schur here with We Write About Music, and today I'm speaking with Caitlin Richards. She has just released a fantastic new record called Inevitable, and I am super excited to talk to her all about it. Caitlin, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. As I mentioned, you're my first interview of the year. How are you doing? Yeah, congrats to you. How are you doing? What's
thank
up?
You. Doing great. It's been a really productive holiday season, also relaxing.
Clearly.
Gigs. I played in Times Square on New Year's Eve. That was
oh my goodness!
How,
but
crazy.
That was that a complete mess, or was it fun? Or
it was a lot.
Sounds
of
terrifying.
Yeah, I was in a bar, literally like seven doors down from where the ball dropped.
Wow. Okay, so you were able to see everything, I assume.
Pretty much. As soon as the show was over, I just walked over, and the confetti was raining down. It was really exciting.
I love that. Well, I want to talk about this record because, as I mentioned, it is
yeah.
wonderful, and I've had the opportunity to listen a couple times. I really just want to kick this off with, what is it about? Like, are these individual stories? Is there an overarching message? Like, what's the big thing?
I mean, it's a concept album. I went through a crazy, life-changing breakup. It was a band breakup. It was a relationship breakup. It was an engagement to, you know, who I thought was my life partner, and us that it wasn't working. It was inevitable that this was over. It was time to move on. And just having that feeling, knowing that something's inevitable, like I just kind of collected all the songs that I've written over the past, you know, almost decade. There are some, you know, recompositions, re-releases rather, that just fit the storyline, I would say, of, you know.
Yeah, just of course.
It's a rebirth album.
Basically. I understand. About how long did it take you to put this together? I imagine that it took a while, just based on the stories and everything that's gone into it.
Well, this is my third album.
Right, right.
From 2016 to 2021 is, you know, when I finished it. It took me a little while to just be ready to be back in the recording studio again, because I recorded with my previous person, you know.
No, that completely makes sense. In terms of the actual production, though, like, operate as a solo artist, but do you have a team helping you in terms of like instrumentals and just like outs? Because it's so difficult to put together a record nowadays, especially.
Yeah. Well, I was actually able to take the reins on the production side of it.
Having
been in bands and been in the recording studio and been around the scene so long, like, I knew what kind of quality I wanted. And like, living in New York for the past 12 years, I've been able to network with, you know, Suzanne Vega's bass player and
sure.
a drummer who used to open for Santana. And
that's amazing.
Just meet some really incredibly accomplished musicians. And, you know, just like my friend group alone, there's just so much talent, like with the violin and the backup singer, and just connections to the keyboard player who played with the Black Keys, just stuff like that. Like, I was just
that's nice.
To reach out and just use the connections, you know, thou shalt use thy connections, 11th commandment.
Absolutely. Hey, when it comes to music, you kind of need to use what's at your disposal. Especially being in New York, though, you've got these connections. It's like, you know, and it just goes to show that as talented as you are, like, it helps having these outside forces to sort of like, you know, prop things up, make them pop a little bit more. But the production itself is fantastic. So congrats on doing that.
Yeah. Matt Schiaravalle is a genius.
Sure.
He's been around the New York scene since he could talk.
Nice.
And we were connected through the drummer, and we just sat in a room together, and it just clicked, you know.
Yeah.
And the style he works with, like, kind of Rolling Stones meets like what's going on today.
Sure.
And he's the kind of producer that I wanted to work with, just laid back, super knowledgeable. He did all the guitar parts on it himself, not the acoustic, but the electric
sure.
parts. And we got to sit side by side and just kind of like run the show as far as mixing and dynamics and just piecing it all together.
Nice.
It was really exciting.
There's so many individual moments that I feel are standouts on this record, but one thing that I really was hoping that you could break down for me is like there's a ton of different styles and genres that have gone into this. Like, it does pull from so much. And I even have trouble calling it what it is, because it is pulling from so much. So I would love to hear from you, like, what's the elevator pitch for this? Like, how would you describe it to someone who's never listened before?
Well, at the end of the day, I'm a singer-songwriter.
Sure.
And I sort of have been called a musician's musician ever since I started.
I like that. Sure.
I started my journey in playing cover songs in bars, and yeah, I'm still doing that. But like, it's just me and my guitar a lot of the times. So in my brain, I'm being backed up by all these different bands from all these different genres, styles, time periods. And when I get in the studio, I don't think that one set of instruments really can lock down like what the message is per song.
Sure.
And my previous albums are pretty much the same. I just kind of jump ship with genre because, you know, it makes more sense for the song. I speak more for the individual songs than I do like my brand, I guess.
Exactly. Well, no, everything has its own personality, which I really enjoy. Like, at the same time, you're pulling from a lot, which is its own thing, but at the same time, it has this cohesiveness about it where you don't feel like you're getting whiplash listening from song to song. They do their own thing, but then they come back together to create this album experience, which feels like a rarity nowadays. It's something that I personally love and feels like a lost art. So thank you. That's, I don't know if that was the intention, but it's certainly working.
I appreciate all of that.
Totally. Obviously, I don't want to take too much focus off of this, but I do, you know, we're at the new year. I want to know, like, do you think you'll plan to experiment with your sound or on future projects potentially do the same thing where you, like, start at this core and do a little, you know, outside of it?
I mean, it's been my pattern with my albums, like, just speak to the song however I feel
sure.
like the situation needs to go. But this is the most cohesive project I've ever put together, and I like that element. I think it's safer to move forward as far as, you know, putting together the band,
yeah,
getting festivals, and doing what I really want to do is play my music for a living,
yeah,
as opposed to continuing on this path of playing other people's.
Of course. As you've done this, though, obviously you're not new to music, but has your process changed of actually starting a song or creating things?
Oh, extremely.
Refining the process or finding that, you know, that thing that works for you?
I find what works for me is being completely lost for a good portion.
Okay, wait, in what way though? What do you mean? Like in life or?
Oh no, like when I start okay. a new piece of music.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this has been done before. Like, but everything's been done before. It's time to.
That is true.
Focus, like right now, it's like the work side of it, as opposed to the creative side of it that I need to like work on. Just finish a song. The rest
completely reasonable. Is there something that you look forward to the most when embarking on a new song, whether it be like the sweet relief of being finished with it or that first moment that's like, oh, I think I've got something here?
Yeah, that breakthrough. Yeah. Here's the bridge. Oh my God. It's simple. Or like, oh, what if I have two bridges? That I'm working on. That hasn't happened.
There you go, the double bridge. okay, so you mentioned, you know, playing shows and this and that. Do you have anything in the books or you know, upcoming that you'd like to plug surrounding that?
That I would like to plug. Oh my goodness.
Plug away.
Yeah, see the shows. So I have this tour, but it's not until August.
Oh, that's far.
Yeah. See, everything else
okay.
is just local New York regular bar stuff.
Oh, well, that's fine. I mean, we've got listeners everywhere. So if you've got local stuff, please go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I guess just go to the website.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll have links so people can check out everything. Don't worry about that.
So if I, you know, put up one thing, everyone else is going to be like, why didn't you plug my place?
People get too jealous nowadays.
Well, it's just a lot.
I understand. Well, I do want to know what an actual live set looks like from you. Is it all originals? Do you throw any covers in there? Like, what's the atmosphere like?
So when I'm with the band, which I don't have anything on the books for yet this year, it'll be 99% originals. And then that one.
No, I prefer that. Anywhere. Yeah. Could
be anything from Crowded House to Ricky Martin. It really.
That is an eclectic mixer. My goodness. Okay.
And then the cover shows, I mean, everything from Crowded House to Ricky Martin.
Everything in between. I love that.
But yeah, I don't even know what I'm going to play until I get behind the microphone and I look around like, okay.
That's great. Okay, well, how about this? If there are two songs on this record that you're most looking forward to playing in a live setting.
Okay.
Or even ones that you would just recommend anyone check out, you know, before they listen to the full thing. Although I do recommend listening from start to finish anyway.
Thank you. So Inevitable was the, you know, title track. It is the turning point of when I knew that, you know, it's time to start over.
Yeah.
And it has a very like movie-esque kind of feel to it. It wasn't supposed to, but when I decided like we need to have piano on top of this, it just sort of opens this, I don't know, a montage in my own brain.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of times people report to me on this song in particular. So I'm really glad that it has the reach that I wanted it to. City Speed was not my favorite, but the way that the production came out, it has turned into, you know, a top song of mine.
Sure.
One of my overarching themes in a lot of my songwriting is seasonal affective disorder, which is this time of year.
Yes.
That depression that just, especially here on the East Coast, it's already dark. It's, you know, 4:30.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dark at 4:30. So my song Fake Knees Blues is like kind of like a fun play on that. Like, it sounds upbeat, but it's really like, no, I'm depressed. Don't be a bitch.
No, I love that. No, seriously. Because, I mean, obviously you're not the only person to do that, but the juxtaposition between that happy feeling that the music gives off, and then you actually like take the time to connect the dots and you're like, oh, see where this is going. I love that more than anything. Because it's in a way, it sort of picks apart like who's paying attention and who's not.
Yeah.
Obviously, people listen to music for different reasons, but, you know. True. Yeah, I mean, you clearly put the effort into the songwriting. Might as well pay attention to that.
Thank you.
Love that. Well, you've already touched on a few points that are coming up in the new year, but because we're right at the beginning, I would love to know, like, what are some lofty goals, some things that you'd like to accomplish, or just some things that you'd like to see happen, hopefully by year's end?
I'd like to get my management team back together. We sort of fell apart right after the release, and that wasn't anyone's fault. It was just circumstantial. But we've been in touch about the new year and what we need to do.
Sure.
I'm also working with a really close friend on starting an entertainment company so that we can sort of call the shots as far as,
yeah,
you know, we want to put the shows together. And once we put the shows together, we can play the shows, you know, as well as for our friends and all of our favorite bands, you know, a place to play. And then also my tour schedule is coming together. I have a tour manager that, you know, he's doing his own tours, and that's how he has so much knowledge and how to put it together. So it's really hard to, like, you know, get the work done.
Right.
But he's plugging away, I believe.
Nice.
And okay. Just getting, you know, the know-how on how to submit to festivals and all that stuff like that. And
right. So lots to look forward to.
Yeah.
Lots of things on the plate. And you know what? I have no doubt that you're going to accomplish some, if not all of those, but it's, you know, it's like a day-by-day process. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. I've got a couple more questions for you. I want to know, obviously, you know, no real music has come out this year, but what were some things that you were listening to last year? And is what you listen to have any actual impact on the music that you make, or do you try to keep the two separate?
I mean, I always have my ear to the ground as to like what's hot and like what's catching people's attentions and stuff. And like sometimes it jumps out and sometimes it's like, why? So, you know, obviously Maggie Rogers like really was like the breakthrough album of the year. And I liked a lot of it. And, you know, I'll cover a couple here and there. And like Wet Leg was one that I was like, why? But now I get it. Like, I actually saw them like perform on, I was in the audience at the Seth Meyers show and they, like,
that's awesome.
Debut television performance and like they just killed it and it was like, oh, I want to.
It makes sense, right? I was also very iffy on them until I saw them live last year and I was like, yeah, you know what? They've got a high energy show. This is sick. I love this.
Very cool.
Okay, so you've got great taste in music. I'm not surprised in the slightest, but there are plenty more. Well, you know, that's the thing with mainstream music nowadays. It's like you never know what's going to jump out and kind of grab you.
But it's
always a guess. Kaylin, my last question for you is, it's basically for the person that is going to discover you from this, what is an opening message that you'd like to say to them before they listen to your music for the first time?
I have reliable transportation. I have ridiculous work ethic. I'll be there on time.
There we go.
Anything you want, you just come and find me.
I think that's about as good as it gets right there.
I'm ready to go. I am really ready
to go. The confidence is just emanating off your body right now. I love it. I love it. Caitlin, I want to thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Please let me plug your music for you one more time here. If you guys didn't catch it the first time around, there it is. The record is called Inevitable. We will have the links in our article so that you can listen and share and follow along. Obviously, there's so much more coming in this new year, and I'm personally excited. I can't wait to see what happens. But yes, thank you. This has been wonderful.
Thank you, Austin.
You are very welcome. I hope to speak soon, and have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.